Any U.S. military strike on Afghanistan would have to cross Pakistani airspace. If they were not told in advance, they might shoot down our aircraft or cruise missiles. If they were told in advance, some of us believed that the Pakistani intelligence service would alert the Taliban and possibly al-Qaeda. The State Department Deputy Secretary, Strobe Talbot, also feared that the Pakistanis would see the U.S. attack coming and assume it was an Indian air raid. Talbot thought that Pakistan would not hesitate to launch an attack on India, even before confirming what was going on, and that could trigger a nuclear war between the two South Asian rivals, each of which now had nuclear bombs. All of this was taking place against the backdrop of the continuing Monica scandal. Like most of his advisors, I was beyond mad that the president had not shown enough discretion or self-control. Although, from what I knew of presidential history, marital fidelity had also been a problem for several of his illustrious predecessors. I was angrier, almost incredulous, that the bitterness of Clinton's enemies knew no bounds, that they intended to hurt not just Clinton, but the country, by turning the president's personal problem into a global public circus for their own political ends. Now, I feared that the timing of the president's interrogation about the scandal, August 17th, would get in the way of our hitting an al-Qaeda meeting. It did not. Clinton made clear that we were to give him our best national security advice, without regard to his personal problems. Do you all recommend that we strike on the 20th? Fine. Do not give me political advice or personal advice about the timing. That's my problem. Let me worry about that. If we thought that was the best time to hit the Afghan camps, he would order it and take the heat for the wag-the-dog criticism that we all knew would happen, for the media and congressional reaction that would say he was using a military strike to divert attention from his deposition in the investigation. Wag the Dog was a movie that had been released that year, in which fictional presidential advisors create an artificial crisis with Albania to attack it and divert attention from domestic problems. Ironically, Clinton was blamed for a Wag the Dog strategy in 1998, dealing with the real threat from al-Qaeda. But no one labeled Bush's 2003 war on Iraq as a wag-the-dog move, even though the crisis was manufactured, and Bush's political advisor Karl Rove was telling Republicans to, quote, run on the war, unquote. Clinton testified on the 17th and flew to Martha's Vineyard. He had one full day of vacation when Don Kerrick, deputy national security advisor, arrived with the final plans for the attack on al-Qaeda. The CIA and Joint Chiefs had nominated not just buildings at the al-Qaeda camp scheduled to host the meetings, but also other al-Qaeda camps in Afghanistan and facilities in Sudan that bin Laden had invested in. They recommended that the attack be conducted only with cruise missiles, not commandos or piloted aircraft, either of which could result in U.S. casualties or prisoners. Joint Chiefs Vice Chairman Joe Ralston had agreed to fly to Pakistan, stopping at the airport allegedly for refueling en route from somewhere else. He had called the head of the Pakistani military and invited him to a one-on-one dinner on the 20th at the airport to discuss the tensions between the United States and Pakistan. The Pakistani general, a friend of Ralston's, had accepted. The cruise missiles would hit Pakistan's airspace and be detected while the dinner was going on. Ralston would explain that they were our missiles and should not be shot at. The plan called for Ralston to get on his plane and leave before dessert was served.